ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवत्। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द भगवद गीता एज इट इज 15 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द योगा ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सन टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। न तद्भाषयते सूर्यो न शशांको न पावकः यद्गत्वा न निवर्तन्ते तद्धाम परमं मम। ट्रांसलेशन इन पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. Purport: The spiritual world, the abode of the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, which is known as Krishna Loka, Golok Vrindavan, is described here. In the spiritual sky, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire or electricity, because all the planets are self-luminous. We have only one planet in this universe, the sun, which is self-luminous. But all the planets in the spiritual sky are self-luminous. The shining effulgence of all those planets, called Vaikunthas, constitutes the shining sky known as the Brahma Jyoti. Actually, the effulgence is emanating from the planet of Krishna, Golok Vrindavan. Part of that shining effulgence is covered by the Mahatattva, the material world. Other than this, the major portion of that shining sky is full of spiritual planets, which are called Vaikunthas, chief of which is Golok Vrindavan. As long as the living entity is in this dark material world, he is in conditional life. But as soon as he reaches the spiritual sky by cutting through the false, perverted tree of this material world, he becomes liberated. Then there's no chance of his coming back here. In his conditional life, the living entity considers himself to be the lord of this material world. But in his liberated state, he enters into the spiritual kingdom and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord. There he enjoys eternal bliss, eternal life, and full knowledge. One should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it's very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes to Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, he can cut off his material attachment to the material world. One cannot become detached from the attraction of the material world simply by dressing in a saffron cloth. He must become attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, one should take it very seriously that devotional service, as described in the 12th chapter, is the only way to get out of this false representation of the real tree. In chapter 14, the contamination of all kinds of processes by material nature is described. Only devotional service is described as purely transcendental. The words Paramam Mama are very important here. Actually, every nook and corner is the property of the Supreme Lord. But the spiritual world is Paramam, full of 6 opulences. The Katha Upanishad 2.2.15 also confirms that in the spiritual world, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine or stars. For the whole spiritual sky is illuminated by the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. That supreme abode can be achieved only by surrender and by no other means. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for coming for this evening satsang program. Particularly on a Sunday, when everybody has so many other activities to do, this possibly is the best use that you could put of your time to come before Radha Gopinath and listen to the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is a very nice chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And in this particular shloka, the Lord is explaining about the characteristics of the Supreme Abode. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport is explaining that this material world, we have only one self-luminous planet, and that's the sun. Right? We are not a self-luminous planet. We are actually a dark planet. Right? Like all the other planets in this universe, the Jupiter planet or the Mars planet or Venus. So any of these planets, all these planets are actually very dark. There is absolutely no light in these planets. The light actually comes from the sun. So if the sun were not to be there, what would be our condition? We would not be sitting in this room, be able to see each other. Right? So it is the sun which gives us the energy that requires us to be active. Right? And any doctor will tell you that if you want your bones to develop, you require the sun. But in the spiritual world, there is no need for the sun. The spiritual world is self-luminous. It has its own light. And that is a place that all of us actually belong to. At one point of time, we were all part of Krishna. But because we wanted to be independent from Him, we have been put into this material world, which is a place of darkness. So by reading the scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita and understanding the message of the Lord, this darkness that is there in our mind and in our heart is lifted and opened, and then we get the sun of knowledge. And if we understand through the sun this knowledge, then our life becomes self-luminous. Right? And the most unfortunate part is that 99% or 99.99% of the human population are actually in darkness. Although they might be having the sun to illuminate their lives, because they do not have a knowledge of what is the constitutional position of the soul, in what way are they different from the body, because they don't have this knowledge, they are in complete darkness. And in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada says that in the conditional life, the living entity considers himself to be the lord of this material world. The whole problem with us is that because we are considering ourselves to be the lord of this material world, in our own insignificant way, even though we might be just a sweeper in the street, to the wealthiest man in the world, each and every one of us are thinking that we are a controller. And because we are thinking that we are the controller, we do not want to accept that there is a supreme authority on top of us who is actually controlling us. And in fact, the scriptures explain, Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that from the time of birth, or even before birth actually, when the living entity is in the womb of its mother, this living entity is actually alive. Contrary to some medical explanation that birth of the child into this material world, when the child takes birth into the material world, that is the time when the child actually takes birth. No. The child is born 9 months earlier in the womb of its mother. So in the womb, the child is having as much life as a child that is outside the womb. But unfortunately, medical science wants to tell us that the child in the womb does not have life. And that's the reason why we are committing so many abortions. Millions and millions of babies are killed into the womb of their mothers. Just because medical science wants us to believe that in the first few months of pregnancy, the child is actually not alive. But the Srimad Bhagavatam tells us, the third canto gives us very detailed explanation that the soul enters into the child, which is there in the womb, at the time of conception. So there are so many souls waiting out, waiting to get a body. And when the conception takes place, when the man and the woman unite, and the conception takes place, at that time, the soul enters into the womb of the mother. And right from that time onwards, the soul is considering itself to be a controller. So practically from the womb to the tomb, till the person dies, it is thinking that I am the controller of whatever I am doing. When the child comes out of the womb, it's told by its parents that you have to be a controller in order to achieve something in this material world. Jai Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. Can you just keep this board here on the back side? Thank you. So when the child comes out from the womb of its mother, the child is told that you are somebody. And you have to become somebody. Bada aadmi bano. Right? Or if it's a lady, then you're told that you should become a lady of substance. Right? So right from a young age, the living entity or the child is being told or being groomed by its parents that one day you have to become a big man or a big woman, which means controller. They are told that you should be a controller. Right? But the whole problem is that because we are educating that particular child in order to be a controller, the child gets illusioned into thinking that I am actually the controller. Whereas we can control actually nothing. We can't even control time. How many of us can say that we will be able to leave till tomorrow morning? Or for 1 more year? Or for 10 more years? How many of us sitting over here in this room can confidently say that I am actually going to live till the age of 60 or 70 or 80, right? We might be thinking that we will die only at 70. But can we confidently say that we will live till 70? We can't even confidently say that we are going to live till tomorrow morning. We could just die today night in our sleep. So that is the extent of control that we have over ourselves. So in one sense, we have absolutely no control. And the unfortunate thing is that every living entity, want to talk about a human being, every living entity in this material world wants to think that they are the controllers. So there is an insect called as Indra Gopa, which is so insignificant, right up to Lord Indra. Lord Indra is the king of the heavenly planets, who has got a lifetime which is millions and millions of years. Right, our lifetime is very limited. We live for maximum maybe 100 years. In Kali Yuga, a person does not live for more than 100 years. Right? And even in those 100 years, The number of years that you actually live qualitatively are very few. The first 10 years of your life, you are only spending busy eating and sleeping. Right? You don't even know what's your name. And maybe the last 20 years of your life, if you live up to be 100 years, after you are 80 years of age, you are an invalid. You are so much dependent on your family members to take care of you. Right? And in between, your life is spent earning money, bringing up your children, bringing up your grandchildren. So many activities are being done by you, completely forgetting that one day we are going to die. So this is the sad condition of the majority of the people in this material world today. Very few people want to accept that they are going to die. And even if they have some preconceived notion or they have some understanding that they are going to die, they do not want to accept that they are going to die, that they could possibly die tomorrow or next year or in 5 years or in 10 years. Because the illusory nature of Maya covers us to such an extent that we want to think that we are living forever. So we see in the scriptures, there are so many great souls. In order to be a part of the scriptures, you have to be a great soul. But still, even they were so much illusioned into thinking that they are the controllers. Like the example of Dhritarashtra. Now, Dhritarashtra was a great king. But unfortunately, he had a very evil son. And he was controlled by him. In fact, after the battle of Kurukshetra, when all his sons were dead, each and every one of his 100 sons were dead, still, Dhritarashtra, because he was so much attached to his body, he was continuing to remain in the palace of the Pandavas. Now, this is a very interesting anecdote which is very relevant to us. How much a person can be attached to comforts in life? Now, Dhritarashtra actually had lost everything. All his 100 sons were dead. There was no reason for him to actually leave after his first son, Duryodhan, who was actually the last person to die. After he died, there was no reason for Dhritarashtra to be alive. But because he was so much attached to this body, and of course because he had a nephew like Yudhishthir Maharaj, who was Dharma personified, Yudhishthir Maharaj was such a kind-hearted king that he actually gave a palace to Dhritarashtra to live in. And Dhritarashtra was living in this palace and thinking that I am going to live forever. Although he was so old. But his half-brother, Vidura, was a very compassionate person. Great souls are also very compassionate. A sadhu is compassionate because he tells us that we have to understand at some point of time that we are not the controllers. We have to give up our attachment to this material world. So Vidura was his stepbrother. And Vidura realized that Dhritarashtra is actually wasting his time. Dhritarashtra has got nothing to live for. Everything that he wanted, everything that he loved, everything that he cared about, everything has been taken away from him. He is not even the king anymore. Yudhishthir Maharaj is the king. But still, because of his attachment to his body, Dhritarashtra is staying in the palace of one whom he used to hate. Right? The Pandavas were objects of his complete hatred. Because he knew that they were far superior to his sons. So Vidura comes to the palace of Dhritarashtra and tells him in a very, very powerful way that, my dear Dhritarashtra, you are such a fool. You are blind from birth. Your liver has become defective. Old age, your body becomes completely invalid. You can't digest any food. You have to be very careful what you eat. Once you become 80 years of age, I want to talk about 80 years of age. Even now when somebody becomes 50 years of age, he has to be so careful what he eats. No more of paneer, no more of ghee, no more of sugar, right? No more of rich foods, no more of alcohol. There are so many no's. Once a person crosses 50, there are more no's in his life than yeses. He's told to eat a lot of salads, abstain himself from eating rice. So many restrictions. Because your body at that particular point of time is already deteriorating. Right? It is already crumbling through the effects of age. When you get up early in the morning, your bones are creaking. You need a hot water bath before you can really activate yourself. Right? And as Kali Yuga is going to progress, this is going to happen to younger and younger people. At least about 100 years back, all the symptoms of old age would come to a person who was 70 years of age. Right? I remember my grandfather, right? At the age of 70, they would be able to eat so much of food. They had absolutely no problem. He could eat ghee, he could eat sweets. But nowadays, you ask a 50-year-old man and he'll tell you, I got diabetes, I got high blood pressure, I got hypertension, I have a weak liver, what they call nowadays, medically, fatty liver. Right? So the moment you have a fatty liver, then you are off oil. Right? No more oil, no more ghee. And all this is happening at the age of 50. Just 100 years later. And mark my words, 100 years later, we won't be there to experience it, of course. But 100 years later, I'm sure that all this will be happening to a person who's already 30 years of age. I want to talk about 100 years later. Even today, we are seeing that people who are like 25 and 30 years of age are dying of heart attacks. Right? In the last couple of months, we have been seeing how people in very prominent positions have been dying at such a young age. Right? I have a godbrother who is working in a company called SAP. Right? Now, this is a very prominent software company, world famous. The managing director of this company died a few weeks back. Now, you would think that he must have died at the age of 70. Right? He was just 42 years of age. Right? He was a managing director of this company. And one of the most prominent CAs in our profession, he was the president of our institute, one of the youngest president. He was glorified in so many different forums. Just a month back, he died at the age of 46. And recently, the executive director of a very large company dies at the age of 52. So we see that it's not uncommon for us to see people who are dying at relatively young age. Now, Dhritarashtra was very, very old. He had already lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. But because he was so much attached to his body, he was still continuing to think that I am going to live forever. Like it happens to all of us. So Vidura tells him that, my dear brother, you are blind from birth. You can't see. Your liver is defective. You are coughing mucus all the time. When you are talking, you are coughing mucus. This is another symptom of old age. Right? You can't speak all the time. When you are wanting to speak, you have to clear your throat because your throat gets filled with mucus. Right? So Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra that, my dear brother, you are so old, but still you are so much attached to this body. And then Vidura makes one statement which is very, very hurting to Dhritarashtra. Vidura tells Dhritarashtra that, my dear brother, you are actually sitting and staying in the house of the Pandavas whom you used to hate. And you are eating the remnants of the food that is thrown to you by Bhima. Now, why does Vidura make this statement? Because of all the Pandavas, if there was one person that Dhritarashtra hated the most, it was Bhima. Because Bhima was the cause of the death of the majority of his sons, including Duryodhan. The one son who was his life and soul, to whom he was most attached to. The cause of his death was Bhima. And Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra that you are staying in the house of Bhima and you are eating his remnants. Just to make Dhritarashtra agitated. And when Dhritarashtra hears Vidura make the statements, just like as if there is a light, when light comes into the room, all the darkness evaporates. Similarly, all the darkness in his brain suddenly evaporated. And he realized, yes, what a fool am I? I am so much attached to this body, although I don't have anything to be attached for. Everything has been taken away from me. All my wealth, all my prestige, all my position, all my power, all my sons. The 100 sons that I loved so dearly, each and every one of them has been taken away from me. And here am I, just being so attached to this body, not wanting to give it up. And Dhritarashtra, at that moment, he makes a decision. He makes a decision to renounce this material world. And the next day morning, or even before the next day morning, in the middle of the night, Dhritarashtra leaves that palace and goes towards the Himalayas. And Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari. Now, Gandhari is a very, very powerful lady. When she comes to know that she is actually going to get married to a man who is blind, she voluntarily becomes blind. She covers her eyes with a cloth for the rest of her life. And because of her austerities, she acquires so much of potency. She becomes such a powerful lady. But the moment Dhritarashtra decides to leave the house, Gandhari says that I have to follow my husband. And Gandhari also leaves home. So Dhritarashtra was saved actually by Vidura. And Vidura represents the spiritual master. The spiritual master is a person who opens our eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. We are born in ignorance. We are born in the darkness of ignorance. Just like how this material planet is actually dark. There's absolutely no light. If the sun were not to be there, there would not be even a little bit of light in this world. Similarly, we are covered by darkness. The spiritual master comes and opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And the Bhagavad Gita tells us, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevayam. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. The duty of each and every one of us is to approach a bona fide spiritual master and inquire from him submissively and render service to him. Because such a person is self-realized. He understands the truth. And what is the basic truth in this material world? The basic truth is that we are not this body. We are the spirit soul. This body is temporary. This body is going to die. But the spirit soul is eternal. The Atma which is within us, which is 1/10,000 the tip of the hair, which is so insignificant. The Atma is eternal. When the body dies, the Atma does not die. The Atma takes another body. There is one more body waiting for us at the time of death. When we leave our body, there is already a body that is waiting for us. If we die out of natural causes. If we commit suicide, there is no body waiting for us. So what happens? We become a ghost. Right? So that's a very big punishment for the spirit soul. Because if you are a ghost, then you have a body, but you're not able to enjoy. Right? So that's the reason why it's the scriptures prohibit us from committing suicide. But if you die out of natural causes, then there is a body waiting for us at the time of death. And the Bhagavad Gita again tells us, what is the nature of the body that we are going to get after death? Everything is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. If one reads the Bhagavad Gita very carefully, the Bhagavad Gita explains each and every aspect of life from the time we are born till the time we die, how we are supposed to conduct ourselves and what happens to us after death. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says to Arjuna, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajat anta kalevaram tam tam evaite kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever is our consciousness at the time of death, that body we will acquire in our next life. So this is a very, very important verse for us to understand that whatever activities we are doing in this present life determines the birth that we are going to take in the next life. If the next life is guaranteed, if it is for sure that we are going to have another birth after death, then how important it is for us to conduct our life in such a way that we determine what body we are going to get in our next life. We have control over what body we are going to get. If you want to get an animal body, all we have to do is to behave like an animal, which is what 99.99% of the people in this world are doing today. They are no better than animals. Because what is it that is common between human beings and animals? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the four characteristics of living entities. What the living entities do. Whether you are an animal or whether you are a human being. You eat, you sleep, you mate, and you defend. Right? These four things are common. So a human being who is doing exactly these four things, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, is no better than an animal. Right? So as Srila Prabhupada would call them, two-legged animals. And why is it that a human being wants to behave like an animal? Because he doesn't have any concept, what is going to happen to me when I die? He doesn't have this understanding. Because he doesn't have this knowledge, he prefers to behave like an animal. So this is the illusion that material nature puts us into. Because of this propensity from our side to think that we are the controllers, we have the control over our life. We are thinking that we are actually having control over our lives. But from this shloka, we understand that when we are going to die, our activities are going to determine what birth we are going to take in our next life. So that's the reason why Srila Prabhupada says over here, it is so much necessary for us to be associating with devotees. Srila Prabhupada says here, one cannot become detached from the attraction of the material world simply by dressing himself in a saffron cloth. You cannot falsely renounce this material world. You have to be part of this material world. Each and every one of us is part of this material world. So we are bound to this material world. But we can control the way we live in this material world. That is something that we have control over. Through our own free will, Lord Krishna gives us his independence. He doesn't take away our independence. If you want to behave like an animal, Lord Krishna says, okay, you behave like an animal. But if you want to become a human being in the way the scriptures want us to be, then Lord Krishna also gives us that facility. And Srila Prabhupada says over here, how we can remain a human being with a clear understanding what is our constitutional position, that we are the spirit soul, completely different from this body. Srila Prabhupada says over here that this knowledge comes to us when we remain in the association of devotees. Like it is said in Hindi, Jaisa Sang, Vaisa Rang. Correct? Ultimately, we are what we associate with. If we associate with worldly-minded people who are interested only in sense gratification, who think that the goal of life is somehow or the other to make money, to enjoy a comfortable standard of living, to bring up our children and give them all the comforts that are required in this life, to work so hard in order to acquire a particular position in society. If that is what we think is the goal of life, then we are wasting this human form of life. Because such a thing also is happening in the animal kingdom. When two dogs are fighting with each other in the street, what are they doing? When you see two dogs fighting, what do you think they're doing? Can anybody guess? What are they doing? Each of them is trying to assert their superiority. Correct? One dog is telling the other dog that I am superior to you. Right? And the second dog is telling the first dog that I am superior to you. So both the dogs are fighting. And if you go out into the jungle, you'll see animals, tigers are fighting tigers, lions are fighting lions, elephants are fighting elephants. Why? Only because they want to assert their superiority. And the same thing is happening among the human beings. Every man or every woman is trying to show to the other person that I am superior to you. By the way they dress. Right? When you go out on Marine Drive, I go for my walk every day in the evening over there. You see people come with so much fancily dressed. Right? What is it that they are trying to do? When you want to dress yourself in a very fancy outfit, you are trying to prove that I am superior to you. Right? When you want to decorate yourself with so much of makeup, you are trying to prove that I am superior to you. Similarly, in an organization, when a person wants, from a clerk, he wants to become an officer. From an officer, he wants to become a manager. From a manager, he wants to become a general manager. From a general manager, he wants to become a managing director. What is he trying to do? He is trying to prove to all his co-workers who are there in the organization that I am actually superior to you. I am your boss. Right? I am your controller. So this is what every human being is trying to do in this material world. He is trying to prove that he is a controller. He is superior to everybody else. I want to be the richest man in the world. What does this mean? It means I want to be that person who can control everybody else. Right? I want to be the president of the United States of America. And we all know America is the wealthiest country in the world or the most powerful country in the world. Not anymore. But even the president of the United States of America is trying to establish the fact that I am the most powerful man in this world. So that's exactly what an animal is doing, trying to assert itself. So our whole life, we are trying to spend establishing that we are superior. But the unfortunate part is, this human form of life is temporary. It is very, very short. By the time you become the richest man in the world, you're already so old that you can no longer enjoy your riches. By the time you become the prime minister of the nation, you're already so old that you can no longer enjoy that position. So what's the use? So that's the fallacy of this life. It makes you frustrated at every stage of your life. We are trying to be happy, but material nature ensures that we will always remain unhappy and miserable. Whether you are a young boy who wants to become grown up, you know, you ask your son. I have a son who is 20 years today. When he was small, I used to ask him, what do you want to be? I want to be like you. I want to be a 40-year-old man. Right? So a small child is hankering to be an old man. And an old man is hankering to be a small child. So whether you are an old man or whether you are a young child or whether you are a grown-up man, at every stage, you are frustrated. Because you want to be somebody you are not. So this is all coming out from the desire to control material nature. Because of our desire to be wanting to control, we are trying to be what we are not. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and to give us the solution to this problem. He has told us, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnunam Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. The solution is to be more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. Completely contradictory, isn't it? This is completely contradictory to what we are taught when we are small. We are taught that you have to be a controller. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming and teaching us that if you want to be happy in this material world, you have to be as tolerant as a tree and as humble as a blade of grass. That is what will actually make you genuinely happy. And in fact, Prahlad Maharaj tells us that if you want to be happy in this material world, stop trying to be happy. Because we are making so much of endeavors to be happy and to reduce distress, this is causing so much frustration in our lives. So if we follow the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, he is telling us that if you want to be happy in this world, do one thing. Stop trying to be happy. Stop endeavoring for happiness. Because in this material world, there is no question of happiness. The Lord certifies in the Bhagavad Gita, this is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This material world is a place of suffering. It's a place which is miserable. So there is no question of happiness in this material world. The Lord himself is certifying this in the Bhagavad Gita. So if we are to accept the words of the Lord as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, then what is the point in trying to make this material world into a happy place? Let us look for something which is permanent. Every activity that we do in this material world is temporary except devotional service. That is the only thing which is permanent. Neha bikramanasosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam apyasa dharmasya trayato mahato bayat. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that even a small amount of endeavor in this spiritual path is eternal. Even a small endeavor, just by being sitting over here in Radha Gopinath temple today in the evening on Sunday, instead of going and spending this time out in a club or in a party or in a restaurant or in a beach, just by being over here, we have made an infinitesimal amount of spiritual progress, which is eternal. Even in this 1 hour that we had earned over here, if we were to earn the amount of money that Bill Gates earns in 1 hour, it's of no use. Right? In 1 hour, Bill Gates maybe makes $500,000. Right? That's about 2 crores of rupees. But in this 1 hour, if we were to earn this $500,000, in the ultimate analysis, it will be of no use. Because we cannot carry this $500,000 with us when we die. But Lord Krishna, by assuring us in the Bhagavad Gita, Neha Bikramanasosti pratyavayo na vidyate. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayato mahato bhaya. The Lord says, don't be afraid, mighty Arjuna. This is the guarantee that the Lord is giving. That even a little bit of endeavor that you make in the spiritual path is absolutely to our credit. We want to talk about doing this 24 hours of the day. Krishna consciousness is an activity that we can practice 24 hours. Whether we are a small boy, whether we are a grown-up man, whether we are a housewife, whether we are a career girl, whether we are a doctor, industrialist, whether we are a sweeper sweeping the streets of Mumbai, whoever we may be, we can practice this process of Krishna consciousness 24 hours of the day. Srila Prabhupada says, just remain in the association of devotees. If you remain in the association of devotees, we are protected. Because devotees always remind us of Krishna. There's only one thing that devotees remind us of. They remind us of Krishna. Machita madgata prana bodhayantas parasparam. Katayantas cha mamityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. When devotees come together, there is only one thing that they discuss. And that's Krishna. Devotees don't discuss the weather. They don't discuss politics. They don't discuss sports. They don't discuss the stock market. They only want to enliven each other by telling them about Krishna. Because Krishna is eternal. And anything that is connected with Krishna is eternal. So whether a person is a housewife, who is looking after children, who has to cook for the husband, she can practice Krishna consciousness 24 hours of the day. Just like an industrialist who is working in a large company, a managing director of a large company, if he is working in his business for 12 hours a day, he can also be practicing Krishna consciousness 24 hours of the day. Because in the ultimate analysis, whatever we do, if we are doing it as an offering to Krishna, then that particular activity becomes Krishna conscious. It becomes Krishnaized. So as Srila Prabhupada says over here, it is not merely by wearing a saffron cloth that you become a devotee. There's no need. We can be a grahastha. We can be married. We can have children. We can have a position in society. We can be having a job. We can be doing business. We can be doing so many things. And by doing all that, we can keep Krishna in the center of our lives and perfect our this very life so that we can remember Krishna at the end of our lives. Which is what is the goal of this human form of life. Antakale cha maam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. Yatrayati samad bhava yati natriyata samshaya. Lord Krishna says in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that my dear Arjuna, if you think of me at the time of death, you will come to me. Of this, there is no doubt. Just to emphasize, maybe what Lord Krishna says is not true. Yeah. The Lord is giving the guarantee that of this, there is no doubt. Just by remembering me at the time of death, you will come to me. And with this, we will escape the cycle of birth and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. This cycle of birth and death is eternal. Until we go home back to Godhead. We have had millions and millions and millions of births. In a cat family, in a dog family, in a tiger family, in a snake family. 84 lakh species of life we have passed through. 80 lakh species of life. And then finally we have come to this 4 lakh species of human beings. And even in this 4 lakh species of human beings, there are so many different varieties of people depending on the consciousness. What is their consciousness? And a person who has come to the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I should surrender to Him, such a person is at the topmost level of human beings. He has reached the pinnacle of success as a human being. And Srila Prabhupada tells us that in this lifetime, if we practice this process of Krishna consciousness carefully, sincerely, seriously, then at the time of death, we can remember Krishna. And then we can go home back to Godhead. So it's very simple. The process is very easy. Just keep coming to this temple every day. Take darshan of their lordships. Attend the satsang program. And when you go back home, take time off to read the Bhagavad Gita. And of course, most importantly, in this age of Kali Yuga, the recommended process for making advancement in spiritual life is to chant the names of Krishna. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Naste, Vanaste, Vanaste, Vagatir Anyata. Just by chanting the names of Hari, we can do all what has been recommended in other yugas, which is impossible for us to do in Kali Yuga. In the other yugas, we are supposed to meditate for thousands of years, or build big temples, or make huge sacrifices. So we neither have the ability to do it, nor the capacity to do all this. But in the age of Kali Yuga, there is just one very simple way of doing this. Whatever was done in the Satya Yuga by meditation for thousands of years can be achieved in Kali Yuga by just the simple process of chanting Lord Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So please, my request to all of you is, chant the names of Lord Krishna. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the mantra for this age of Kali Yuga. Please associate with devotees. Read the scriptures. Come to satsang programs. Take darshan of their lordships. Honor Krishna Prasadam. And if we do all this, there is nothing which stops us from going home back to Godhead. From getting freed from the cycle of birth and death. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvatha. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti surajana. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, anybody who knows about my pastime and about my birth does not, on leaving this material planet, take birth again in this material world. So we are in effect purchasing a one-way ticket. So this is a very practical process Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us to follow. Each and every one, whatever may be our condition or position or situation, we can practice this. Thank you very much. Maybe you can take one question, in case somebody has a question. Otherwise, we can have kirtan. No questions. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki chai. Vratraj Bhagavad Gita ki chai.